The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is game day. Auburn and Baylor just about 3 hours away from kickoff. And we're here with you on the Friday edition of The Drive. It's Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And yes, I mean, we do understand that actually right next door here in the building, the Auburn Network pregame is getting started. So we understand the situation, but we're here anyway. We're going to break down the game, look at the starting lineup, some of the matchups, the keys there. We're also going to let you hear a good bit of audio from this week from Hugh Freeze, from Auburn players. So that is the plan as we head up towards 6 o'clock here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It is it's about 15 degrees cooler here than it is in Waco, Texas. I looked at the weather forecast, and it is 93 degrees right now and sunny in Waco. Kickoff temperature is expected to be 90 degrees with a lot of sunshine, and it's still going to be in the mid-80s at 10 o'clock tonight. So it's going to be a hot night in Waco, Don.
Yeah, it is, Bill, and it's an exciting time of year. You just kind of feel it. Even driving around town, you see a lot of Auburn colors, jerseys. I saw a bunch of girls in the grocery store today wearing, of course, Bo Jackson jerseys and Cam Newton jerseys. And, yeah, but that heat, we got to be careful, stay hydrated. I know we talked about it yesterday. They've been doing that all week. Continue to eat. They'll have plenty of snacks for them in the locker room. Pickle juice, believe it or not. All those things
help with cramping.
And we've practiced hard in hot weather.
Oh yeah.
Luckily, we had hot weather for some people.
Yeah, it really did up until the last week or so.
Yeah, but it'll be exciting, and it's about that time. I'm sure they already had pregame meal. They usually do that about 4 hours before kickoff, and they'll be.
They're getting close to the stadium now.
Yeah,
I think the Tiger Walk is at around 4:30.
Yeah, they'll be getting there, and they'll walk the field and do all, whatever you do. Everybody's got their own little deal, coaches and players. But it's that time.
Yeah, the second SEC team to play Missouri last night, looking for a starting quarterback. May have found it in two ways. One, they're the first guy they sent out there gets hit on the knee and he's out, and then they go on to a
63-6 or something
six,
like
yeah,
that.
Over yeah, over Central Arkansas last night.
It was tied there early. I mean, but you could just tell the athletic ability of an SEC team against a team like that. But, I saw their coach on SEC Network this afternoon. It was after the game last night. He was not sure how serious it was, which that's the common line you're going to say.
Yeah, you're going to wait and check, wait till the swelling goes down, get an X-ray, an MRI,
a couple of
and find
opinions,
out.
Yep. And they'll send him, wherever they need to, because they were counting. They really didn't know who their quarterback was.
Right. Well, so, now I think they
– Yeah, like you said.
They've got somebody, and he's going to have to be the guy. And they've got Kansas coming up this next week.
Kansas, what an improvement they've done. That guy's done a great job out there. Kansas used to be the joke of the Big 12.
Kansas was everybody's homecoming.
Yeah, yeah, and for sure.
Yeah, so speaking of yesterday, while we were on the air, when we left, it was around halftime.
Yeah.
And South Florida was leading Boise 10-7.
Right.
Yeah, it ended up 34-7.
Wow, that shocked me. I went to bed early.
I thought South Florida was pretty good, but yeah, they're better than I thought.
You're
Boise's
right.
Not.
They would look more athletic.
They did.
If even some of the replays.
They just had more team speed.
And they had a good crowd, and were into it. I think Boise probably went in there a little cocky, to be honest with you. Everybody
was
picking them.
Yeah, they were number 25.
And they were going to be in the playoffs.
They're the group of five team in the playoff.
Yeah.
No, I think that's it. They can forget that. I mean.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, losing like that.
You cannot lose if you're one of those schools.
No.
Ain't.
So, So we can talk about those games. We'll take a look at all the games involving SEC teams
over the weekend. What a weekend.
It is a great weekend. I mean, there's some really, really interesting ball games. We'll take a look at all them as we head on through
Lee Corso's last game day tomorrow.
It's big enough that not only is it going to be on ESPN, Fox is going to carry his final helmet pick.
Yeah. And they're at Ohio State, correct?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. So how about that? So, yeah, that's coming up tomorrow as well. We're just underway. Again, we have a lot of audio that we're going to play for you. We will look at the projected starting lineups. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to give us a call, the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. If you want to give us your pick, your thoughts for the ball game, or any of the games going on this long Labor Day weekend, want to remind you that we will be back for a show on Monday. I mean, we've always done that. I mean, because generally, you know, Auburn's playing, but I mean, there's so many big ball games. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there are two ball games Monday night that we'll be looking at. But I mean, looking back at the weekend, it'll be our first chance to Monday afternoon quarterback the Auburn Baylor game. So we will be on the air on Monday. Dan will be back from Waco. Brian Matthews will be in. So looking forward to that as well. But it's Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio today. Tell you what we'll do since we've got Hugh Freeze audio. We're gonna let you hear the press conference from Tuesday from Monday. He was saying it's Tuesday.
Yeah, because of the Friday
because today
game.
Is Saturday as far as their schedule.
For their
schedule. But, yeah, we'll let you hear Hugh's press conference. Again, we'd love for you to join in if you would like. But we got a lot of audio for you, and we'll break down the game and look at the other games as we continue just underway here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Oh, by the way, yes, we will check in at some point with Dan Peck, who should be making his way into the stadium. And we'll get his thoughts there on the pregame atmosphere and wonder how many Auburn people. I mean, I heard somebody earlier today saying, well, it's not that much interest from Auburn people. There probably won't be 1,500 Auburn folks there.
Oh.
I would be stunned if they're not 5,000 at least.
I was talking to my wife last night. You got a three-day weekend, a place we haven't been in forever. If we've ever played in Waco.
You've got the third largest Auburn club in the country in Dallas.
Yeah. There'll be 5,000 or 6,000 Auburn fans, I guarantee it.
I sure think so. All right. So we'll check in with Dan in a little while. I thought we'd let you hear some thoughts from Hugh Freeze and Auburn players as we move along here today. So we'll take you back to Monday and Hugh Freeze's first weekly press conference. Thought we'd let you listen in to the comments that he had then on Monday.
Yeah, we're excited. It's finally here, and our kids are excited, and I know our fans are, and we're ready to obviously still work to do, but excited that at the end of this week, it's not a scrimmage or a mock game or anything. It's where you really get tested, and I know everyone's feeling that way, and so are the opponents. And I know Baylor will be extremely excited, and Coach Aranda will have his team ready to compete at a high level. And just watching games from that kicked off in the early week, it's a reminder, a stark reminder that mistakes cost you in these games, and hopefully we can play as mistake-free and clean on things that we do to ourselves in game one that give us the best chance to win against a very talented team, the returning depends, you know, how you look at their depth chart. But up to six guys on defense, really impressed with zero and three. I think those two guys are really good players. They got a highly rated transfer, and I think he's wearing 50 from Tulane, the pass rusher. That's a really good player, and 27's a solid guy. And then 11 is returning, you know, linebacker, and looks like a real SEC-type player. So defensively, Dave has always done a great job. I have great respect for him and know that they present a lot of fronts and a lot of movement. And they're very, very well coached and disciplined defensively. You got to – you know, they finished the year probably as hot as anyone in the regular season, winning six straight, and got to have a lot of confidence. Played in one of our league teams in a bowl game very close, and it was impressive to watch them compete, you know. So I have great respect for Baylor and for the job they've done in building that program. Dave, I think, is in year six or seven now, and his quarterback has played off the charts good the last part of the year, and they have special talent in the return guy, 35, Cameron, I think, is his name, and he's electric and also a very talented receiver, very talented tight end, and running back that rushed for over 1,000 yards. So they probably averaged 41 points, I believe, in their last seven games to finish the year. So, again, I'm sure they're coming in very confident in who they are and returning staff and returning a lot of key players. So it's a great task to open the year out there, and we're looking forward to it, expectant to big things. Again, I like our team, I like where we're headed, and this will be a great test for us.
Jason Caldwell, Auburn Undercover. How do you balance opening games by trying not to do too many things, let guys play free, but also make sure you kind of cover all the bases? How tough is that as a coach?
It's tough because you have too much time, and you'll have your mind set on this is what we should do, and then you watch another game or you watch another cut-up, and you have three more ideas. Those ideas are worthless if your kids can't go out and execute it at a high level against different pitchers that you're going to see. And so I think, you know, having done this a while, I'm very aware of that threat, and we have to balance that off of each other, saying, no, do we really, really need this? Because you can't get everything repped in practice, and you better rep the things that you think you're going to need to win the game over and over again against the different looks and give your quarterback all of those looks. So, but that is hard for game one. It gets a little easier when you're in a normal week and you don't have much time. You're going to go with your gut and your first instinct usually in game planning. So that is a challenge in game one.
Coach, you've been coaching your quarterbacks hard this fall camp. Can you talk about Jackson Arnold's preparedness for game one and where you feel he's at? Can you rate that? And then second part of the question, how do you prepare your team on a short week for game one when you've got a Friday game and you're traveling on the road?
Yeah, I'll do that one first. That, again, being game one, it's not that you have time to plan. So we actually formulated, you know, the last 2 weeks just like it was a Friday game. So we've been able to – it is a little different for sure, but, you have to remind yourself that today is really a Tuesday, and you're not normally on that same schedule on the normal week where you're practicing hard on a Monday or a Sunday. But having it be the first game has helped with that. Jackson, I think, is progressing every practice, and I'm excited to see him go and compete in our mock game that we had. I thought his decision-making was really good. I wish he'd hang in the pocket a little more. and go through his progressions, and we're working on that with him. But at the same time, you know, he's an athlete that creates some things too when he does escape the pocket. And so you have to balance that as a coach, I think. But he made good decisions. We've got to make sure, again, that we're not doing too much where our receivers, we want them in the right spots at the right time, and making sure, because I think we're athletic enough there to win. Just be sure we're not making stuff up, you know, on a given play because you think you see something, or just do what the play is designed to do. And I think we're good enough there to win and get open, and that will help our quarterbacks. It'll be interesting, you know, how we protect in this game with all the different exotic blitzes that they have. You know, we've got a good plan for that, I think. But Jackson is I'm pleased with his progression. Also pleased with Deuce and Ashton. Deuce in the mock game the other night was 7 for 7 and looked like nothing fazed him. And, again, I know it's not against Baylor, but he was very accurate, stood in the pocket, threw the ball, and was really impressive. And Ashton did some really nice things also. So, but pleased with where Jackson's at. Excited to see him go and see what he does under the lights here Friday night.
Hugh, in the game notes, it had, I think, Derek, Kent, and Rock listed as coaches who will be up in the booth. I know at least one of those is definitely new, but could you just talk, I guess, a little bit about the decision-making to have those guys up there as opposed to on the field?
Say the names again.
Ken, Derek, and Rock.
Yeah, Ken and, you know, DJ, obviously I let him decide who he wants up there defensively with him, but offensively, that's what we did last year. I felt it was best to have both Kent and Derek up feeding me information and seeing things from their viewpoint when they make calls for the next drive and having it. I think you can think more clearly up there probably, and obviously with the tablet use, you really can get yourself together with them two being together there, have a really good plan for the next drive. So, you know, that's what the thinking is that went into that.
Hugh, where are you guys at health-wise this week, particularly Eric Singleton?
He looked good yesterday. I think he's close to being 100%. You know, we'll continue to protect him a little bit and get him some conditioning, but he'll be ready to give it a go, for Lord willing that nothing else happens this week. But I think everybody's, you know, at a point that's going to be able to play that hadn't been already ruled out previously. So we're pleased and thankful for that. Alex McPherson is still going through some testing, and we'll see kind of where he's at the end of the week. But at this point, I would expect kind of everybody that has not been ruled out earlier to give it a go.
Hugh, you were in here last week talking about you wanted to see more from your guys up front with pass protection, straining more, doing that. How did they respond to that? How did you see that group do the last week in that area specifically?
Yeah, they've improved. I know they're very capable of doing that. And, again, you know, I say things sometimes that are – and I don't know that everybody hears everything I say. You know, they see 1,000 different looks right now that they probably hadn't been coached very well to protect either. And so, you know, I hope that means we've got some good one-on-one pass rushers. And I think, you know, the thought behind that was I felt like we were losing too many one-on-ones in that. And Baylor certainly has guys that will test us. But I feel confident in who our guys are. And I think it helps when you get in a game and you're not playing yourself, and you would hope. But it doesn't matter who you play. If you stay in third and long, you're going to be in trouble. You're just not going to convert many of those against quality teams like Baylor. So I think what helps our offensive line more than anything is us winning first and second down and getting into third and manageable situations where we can do both run or pass. That would benefit them greatly. But they've responded well. Excited to see them have a chance to go out and prove that they're a quality SEC offensive line.
You've got about 30 players or so listed on defense with Orrs. I mean, just talk about how you feel about that quality of depth that you have there on defense.
My first thought was it's going to be a long introduction, you know, at Jordan-Hare when we introduced our starters on defense. But the truth is that is really it. The strength of our defense is in its numbers, and we've got to continue to hopefully adapt that mantra in our mindset that it's not about the quality of, I mean, the quantity of snaps that I play. It's the quality that I produce when I get my chance, and I think that's really our strength is the numbers. And and you know, we will play all of those guys, I suspect, on Friday night. And he has all camp, and he rotates them freely. Whoever goes out there, the first group, it's never a sure thing, and you've got to keep producing each day, and the competition has made them all better. You know, we'll see how these young kids do. We've got a lot of youth there that are going to play, and you got to see how they adjust to the game. And you know, usually, you know, you're surprised by one or two guys that you're like, all right, he's better on Friday nights than he's shown. And that the other's probably true too. You find out, all right, he's not quite ready. He's swimming a bit when the bullets are live, and it gets going pretty fast. So we'll learn a lot about ourselves, like everyone does in week one. But I do expect DJ to play all those guys.
If Alex is not able to go, what is the backup plan there? And then even if he is able to go, do you guys plan on using multiple kickers depending on the distance?
That will be a discussion that Alex and I have on Friday. If he feels like he's able to participate, the next question will be, all right, let's be real on the, you know, how are you feeling on distance? And it may be pregame before we know that. So the answer is yes. We stand ready to use other kickers. I think Towns has had a solid camp, as has Gibbs. It's really close between those two as far as what they've graded out accuracy wise. Towns would probably get the first opportunity there, and we believe in all three of those guys. Obviously, Alex is super talented and accurate. It's just a matter of, you know, what he feels like he's able to do, and then we'll go from there with Towns and Gibbs.
Hey, it's JG with Auburn Sports, Auburn on Three. My question for you is, you've had a lot of first games. You've been coaching a while. Talk to me about the anxiety you have just kind of going into a first game of the season, even though you've been doing it a while. I mean, you probably don't know exactly how your team's going to perform and that kind of thing.
You know, I'm not a real anxious person, but the more film you watch, like we've been up since practice has ended watching more tape, and I did just say to them, I think I need to quit watching tape because the more I watch, the better they get in my mind. And you know, I know they're a really good team, but that does create in you some man, let's go find out. And so I guess that is anxiousness. It's but I'm full of excitement of this team. I've been around enough to know when you have enough talent to win games, and we do, and we're not going to run from that. We're excited about it, and now we've got to go prove that. And I don't know what the results will be on any given game because, as you know, there's a lot of teams that can beat you on a given night if you don't play very well. So that part with some of you know, new quarterbacks and a lot of young guys on defense and all of that, you know, it's a question mark for you. But I'm excited to go see them play. I know they are. When I walked in the team room to talk about our theme this week, they were excited and ready.
Y'all made the announcement this week about the yellow wood thing on the field. How important is it these days for some people who can that probably wouldn't have ever liked the idea necessarily of doing some things like putting advertising on the field. How important is that in this era to have people willing to do that?
Yeah, we couldn't function in today's climate without the quality of boosters and supporters that we have. It would be impossible, and we're blessed here at Auburn to have many great ones that have obviously stepped up and done new and new things that are a sign of the new climate. And so that's just another one, and we're very grateful that we have those people that are willing to do that time and time again. And I know they probably get tired of us always calling the same few. We're very thankful here that we've got many, many great boosters that are helpful in a lot of ways.
You, Brian Matthews, AuburnSports.com, On Three Rivals. How do you feel about the development of your pass rush throughout camp to now?
You know, if again, you know, I've got a sample size that's huge, and you can't carry all of that into. I mean, if they could do everything that they've done every single day in a single game, it'd make you feel very, very great. But you know, Baylor's going to dictate too, some of which we can or cannot do. But I like the athleticism of our edge. I like the physicality and push that our inside guys have gotten against us. And so I hope we see the same thing. I have every reason to feel good about that based on the samples that I've seen throughout camp.
Coach, wanted to ask about Horatio Fields. What did you see that made him a priority in the portal? What have you seen this preseason, and what are you expecting this season out of Horatio?
Number one, he's become the leader of that room, believe it or not. I mean, he's the father figure in that room, the old guy, and he speaks great wisdom to all of that room. And if you ask them today, we voted on captains yesterday, and he received quite a few votes, and that's pretty special for a receiver that's come in. I just think that speaks volumes of who we saw in him as a person and as a leader for the young talent. Then you get him here, and, well, on tape you saw length and you saw ball skills. But then you get him here and you see his route running, and you're like, man, we've hit on another one. This guy's a solid, solid player and does a lot for us in being able to – his football IQ is really high, can learn different positions, allows us to go some different personnel groupings that he can handle. And so really pleased with his camp for sure.
Hey, Hugh. Johnny Condon, ABC 3340 Sports in Birmingham. Turnovers were a problem at times last year. How do you coach decision-making on the field? And of the three quarterbacks that are looking for playing time, who has been the best at protecting the ball this fall?
I think turnovers speaks volumes about how our season went last year, and it was not just one person's fault. It was coaches, it was players, and multiple. But if you look at what we average per play, it just doesn't add up. That we didn't win more football games until you factor in that we were last in turnovers in the league, and you know, I don't like to talk about it a whole lot. We talk about the ball being the number one important thing offensively, and that's what we'll continue to work on and continue to coach decision-making at the quarterback position. And there's nothing wrong with using your legs. There's nothing wrong with punting, you know, but we need every possession to end with a kick of some type. And, you know, that's the only way I know to do that. And we'll start finding out Friday night who has a comprehension of how important that is.
Coach, what was the theme in this week's team meeting ahead of Baylor matchup this week?
Run your race is the theme this week. And this, we've done a deal all throughout camp where we've incorporated videos from former players here. We did 10 different sessions on it. And, you know, there's a cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on, that are for you, that believe in you, and believe you can, you know, right the ship and bring glory back to Auburn football. And but it's very important that you understand your race. I think one of the dangers in life for all of us is, I think if we were all really honest with ourselves, there's probably a gap of, man, why am I not here yet at this point in my life in some area? Why am I, well, you know, and that comes usually from comparison or what you had hoped or dreamed. And the most important thing is not have you, you know, covered that gap. The most important thing is that you're still in the race and you're still running your race, and the baton is coming to you. You don't know when, but this is more like a relay race, and the baton gets passed and you can't do it. This is not an individual race. It's a relay one that you have a team. And I showed them great pictures this morning of Michael Phelps on a relay and Usain Bolt, and the pure excitement on their face as they're passing the baton, in Usain's case, or Phelps cheering on his guy coming to the end. That's totally different than an individual race. You might have your mom at the end of an individual track race, or your grandma or some, but man, you put a relay race on, the whole stadium is into it. And you know, it's important that you run yours, and yours may not come in the first quarter, and yours may not come in the second quarter, but that baton is going to hit your hand at some point, and will you be ready for it? And how you run your race today matters in your preparation for that.
Hugh, and Dave Aranda, when he was coming up, you know, in coaching, it was a lot of creative stuff on the defense side, especially with the way they pressure quarterbacks. You still see a lot of that with Baylor and that kind of DNA there, and trying to prepare for that with a new quarterback and some new offensive linemen.
Yeah, obviously, I've known Dave for years, and we've gone against each other, and I've gone against guys that have come up under him and have coached with some, and it's all about the simulated pressures, and that certainly hasn't changed. It's do a great job of disguising it and not knowing exactly, you know, exactly who it is that's going to be the pressure guy. But he hasn't changed that, and I know he took over play calling last year. I assume he is this year. Don't know that, but I know that you'll see simulated pressures quite frequently, most every play.
That's Hugh Freeze from his Monday press conference. Of course, the first of his weekly press conferences, previewing Baylor. And, of course, that ball game coming up about 2.5 hours away. And you can hear it over on Wings 94.3. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We have more audio. We'll look at the starting lineups and much more. You can join us as well, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Friday Drive.
Part of the Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. We'll check in with Dan at some point here during the show. He should be making his way into the stadium. Saw a shot from Andy Burcham. You can hear over on Wings 94.3 with their pregame show. There from Baylor Field, looks like it's in really good shape.
Yeah.
Again, it is not the biggest stadium. Only, I mean, I guess 45,000 they could squeeze in. It says capacity is 42,500. So we will see. As I was mentioning a while ago, it's going to be a hot one. Temperatures still in the 90s in Waco as we speak, and expected to be around 90 at kickoff tonight. All right, Don, what did you prefer? You're a defensive guy.
Right.
So I would think you would normally like to, if you win the toss, go on defense.
Yeah, no doubt. For sure. To me, that's what you do because of the second half, too.
That's right.
Getting the
ball. You get the ball to start the second half. And you generally, or if there's any wind, because of that, you're going to usually have that in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Because the team that doesn't have the ball first
gets
to start
pick.
The second half usually wants the win.
Yeah, it gets to pick which way to go. No doubt. Always want to go on defense. I don't know what it is, but if you go out on offense and you go three and out, it's kind of like a little downer.
It is. It is.
And just get everybody into the game, get the first lick in, and then, yeah, no doubt, I would always want to be on defense first.
It usually plays into getting better field position.
Yes, no doubt.
Because now that kickers' legs are so strong, you see so many touchbacks.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't see nearly as many kickoff returns.
Nope.
And football, you know, the rules have changed, too, making it – you know, you're not going to see the kind of collisions that you had before.
Right.
So it's almost conducive to either, you know, letting the ball go ahead and hitting the end zone or making the fair catch and going ahead and just taking the ball at the 25.
Right.
And having to go 75 yards, you know, maybe you've got those plays all set up and you're really clicking and things going. But like you said, if you can hold the team, get the ball back where you're at better than your only better than being at year 25,
right.
You've already gained a little bit in field position.
Yeah, very important. Like I said, field position, like we talked all week, the last couple of weeks, first game, turnovers, field position, kicking game, and penalties, dumb penalties.
First game is when you worry about, you know, some mistakes like that.
And communication. Man, you got to be so disciplined in your communication. And that's going to help the staffs all back together. And we don't have a whole lot of new players, I mean, like in the past.
Right.
And it's so important, sideline control, all the little things that will get you beat, you know, 12 men on the field. That I used to wake up in a cold sweat thinking I had 12 men on the field. And I have had that happen a couple of times. And it's no fun as assistant coach to – see that flag fly, and it's one of your guys out there, and he's not supposed to be.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, Auburn, as a matter of fact, just has three new assistants this year with two in the secondary. Charles Kelly last night nearly pulled off a big win at Central Florida at Jack State.
Yeah.
But you have two new defensive coaches, but you've got DJ Durkin back.
Right, right.
So that should help.
Yes.
And then you've got a new special teams coach. Speaking of special teams, saw a report a little while ago that Alex McPherson apparently looked and felt good this morning. You heard Hugh Freeze say that he was going to spend some time with Alex today. You know, when they get over there and they're on the field, find out how he's feeling. Because his situation, look, it's a medical situation where you just don't know from day to day how it's going to be. We do know that Tuesday, when there was a media opportunity, he was kicking the ball extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll see. But it seemed positive, at least earlier today, that Alex was feeling pretty good. So we'll see if he's able to go tonight. And if so, I mean, that's really big for Auburn because he's you know, he was one of the best kickers in the country
right.
2 years ago. Barely. Yep. I mean, I think he missed one kick all year, extra points and field goals.
Yeah, and we know from last year how important that is.
Oh, there's no question about
it'll
that.
It'll get you beat. You know, your long snapper, your holder, your punter.
Auburn's got the long snapper back from last year.
And
that's good.
Believe me, that is so crucial. You don't ever think about that guy until there's one over his head or bounces back there. Same with the holder. Okay, we're going to kick a field goal. It's a lot of things that goes into it.
Does Auburn's depth chart list the holder? I don't know that I remembered looking at that. It's about on page 4, the depth chart. We'll go over the depth chart at hour number 2. We'll sort of go through the Baylor starting lineup, then look at the Auburn lineups as well. And we'll see. I just don't remember if it listed because I don't know who the holder is.
Well,
last year it was the punter. And I don't know if Hudson Cock, Auburn's punter, is he the holder?
He's the holder, number 14, yes.
Okay.
He's the holder backed up by 37 John McGuire.
John McGuire is the backup punter.
Yeah, so that's
so
normal.
So your punters are your two holders.
And that also helps you with your travel squad.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have to, you know, I made the travel team as a long snapper in college. So I didn't want, I could have been bumped if the linebacker could have snapped or the quarterback.
Or the center was the snapper.
Which I played center. I never understood. They used to drive me crazy. I'm a center, but I can't snap on a punch. But I don't know. That's something I could do.
It's a little different snapping it either 7 or 15 yards than it is even shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to lob it back on a shotgun snap.
Yeah, and you're going to snap it even different.
Yeah, you're not going to fire that spiral back.
Right. And, you know, quite honestly, I didn't play when we had shotgun. It was all under center.
Right, back then everything was
there's under center, and then you snap for a 7-yard field goal or a 15-yard punt.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right. But all those little things that we've talked about all summer, you just never know in the first game. Being on time, don't be late for the bus. You know, don't forget your equipment. You know, that's not so much now in college because it's all packed. Mm-hmm. But you still, I always used to have my guys, make sure you pack that bag that you've got everything you need. Don't go out there and leave your helmet or something. But they have other stuff.
Right.
But you never know. You know, you can't take anything for granted, even in college. Well,
these are kids, too.
I know.
They're going to forget something.
They're going to forget everything. It's exciting, but as a coach, you're a nervous wreck. You can't wait for that game to start.
Well, I'm sure. All right, we'll go ahead and get to our final break of hour number one. We'll look at the starting lineups, look at the matchups, let you hear some more audio as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. It is game day. Coming up on Auburn and Baylor, a little over 2 hours from now, and we've got some audio from one of the newly elected team captains. It is his time. Damari Alston has waited and patiently, you know, been the backup at running back for the last few years. He is, you know, now your starter and one of the team captains as Auburn. We'll hope to get its running game going. That could be very, very important tonight, is get that running game going. So we thought we'd let you hear some of the comments Damari had when he met with the media just a couple of days ago.
Damari, talk about prepping for this Baylor defense, what you've seen on tape, and what you guys are going to try to execute this week.
I feel like we're going against a pretty good team, pretty good defense, pretty disciplined team overall. We just got to come out there and, you know, I feel like we got a good scheme, you know, for them. And we just got to come out there on Friday and execute and, you know, we'll get it done.
How much faith you got in those guys up front to kind of create those lanes for you? And how are they doing run blocking up front?
Oh, yeah, I ain't got no doubt at all. We lean on the run game, you know. At away games, you got to come in and run the ball. You feel me? Pass blocking, run blocking, I feel like we're good up front. You know, we're going to take care of business for sure.
It's obviously a competitive camp for you guys in the running back room. Freeze said yesterday that you're going to be the number one guy heading into this game. I mean, I guess, how does that feel, having that role going into this game and going into this season?
You know, I just give all the thanks to God. He gave me the talent, you know, to be here, to be in this position. And I'm just ready to take on this role, be the leader for the running back room, the leader for the offense. And, you know, just do what I got to do. I came here for a reason, and I'm set to do, you know, what's been planned.
I know every running back wants to touch the ball as much as possible, but how much does it help knowing you got several guys behind you, keep you fresh, rotate, y'all got a variety of weapons back there?
Oh, that's a good thing, man. That's a great thing, you know, because I want to play a long time. You know, I don't want to be, you know, 2 years and done, or, you know, getting all the touches and stuff like that. I want to be, you know, whenever I get tired, I should look to the sideline and be like, you know, Cobb, come in. And, you know, whenever he gets tired, he should look at me and be like, you know, D.A., come in. Like, you know, it's a blessing to have some guys, you know, just as talented as me to be backing me up for sure.
Taylor's defense, what have you guys seen on film? What are the biggest challenges that you see that they bring?
I just feel like, from watching last year, I just feel like they're physical, they're disciplined. You know, they like to come down, and they like to hit a little bit. So, you know, we just got to take it to them for sure.
Damari Alston spending a little time with the media after practice on Tuesday. And, yes, he will be the starter for the Tigers at running back this evening. Auburn, like I said, looking to get the running game going. Going to be really interesting because Jackson Arnold now it's not – not two-hand touch anymore.
Right.
And he's a guy, understand he had about 100 yards rushing in the second
scrimmage. Yeah, he can run, and that's another plus. That gives you another guy you got to, you know, account for on defense. But you're right, Bill. We got to run the football and stop the run, and I think that's a key tonight. And if we're able to run the ball, I think it's going to open us up for our great receivers we have.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it in the second hour. But
yeah.
I mean, Baylor has an outstanding tailback, 1,000-yard rusher this past year for Bryson Washington,
mm-hmm.
who's nearly 220 pounds, and the interior of their offensive line all comes back. It's going to be, you know, how the Auburn front and linebackers handle the run.
Yeah.
Against Baylor is going to be very important, because that was
yeah.
that was what was working for them so well and freed up Sawyer Robertson
right.
to throw the ball down the stretch last year.
Right, for sure.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Yes, we'll look at the starting lineups for both teams. Let you hear from Auburn starting quarterback Jackson Arnold. See if we can check in with Dan Peck as well, all in hour number two, which is coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here on game day. Auburn and Baylor about 2 hours away from kickoff in a warm Waco, Texas, where our own Dan Peck is there getting ready for tonight's matchup. Dan, how you doing, man?
Doing all right, guys. Crossing the Brazos right now, as a matter of fact, as I get closer to the stadium.
Yep, I was looking at the weather, and it's still supposed to be 90 degrees at kickoff.
Yeah, you're not going to have to worry too much about rain. I mean, I see some clouds on the horizon, but I think for the most part, this is going to be what Auburn was expecting climate-wise when they take the field in just a couple of hours for this when the game starts in a couple of hours. This is it's Texas. It's August in Texas, no doubt about it.
Well, and that's where it's Auburn has to be glad that they have the numbers that they do, and they went through practices in temperatures like this up until about the last week or so.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be too foreign. You got to remember, too, Auburn's, you know, the players themselves, predominantly Southerners.
Right.
You know, you have a couple of transplants, but for the most part, I think these guys will be pretty comfortable with what they're dealing with. I'll tell you something else I noticed, Bill. You know, walking around town today, hitting up In-N-Out Burger, hitting up the Dr. Pepper Museum here in Waco. A lot of Auburn people, a lot of orange and blue, a lot of Auburn folks. It's a really cool thing to see as Auburn as definitely like I think we should have quite a few witnesses in attendance tonight as Auburn takes Waco.
And we were talking about that a little bit on the first hour, Dan, because I heard somebody earlier today sort of just poo-pooing that idea, saying, well, you know, it's been a tough last 4 years for Auburn, so probably won't be more than 1,500. I think there will be decidedly more than 1,500 Auburn fans, with the fact that the third largest Auburn club in the country is in Dallas, and as many folks as have been making plans to head out there. I mean, it's when you're only got a 45,000 seat stadium, you're not going to be able to have 15,000. But I think it's going to be at least 5,000 Auburn fans there.
No, that's a fairly brainless take. I mean, that suggests like, oh, the enthusiasm's not going to be there from the Auburn fans. I mean, did you see the last home game of the year was A&M, right, Bill?
Yeah.
I think Auburn had some enthusiasm that night. I think Auburn fans showed that they're still on board the last time you saw Auburn at Jordan-Hare. And then for that matter, I mean, you're right. You've got Auburn fans traveling for this one, and there's also a significant number of Auburn people in Dallas-Fort Worth. Keep in mind, you know, DFW, that's one of the five biggest metros in America. So I think your number is probably, my expectation would be your number is closer than whoever expected 1,500. And I would also say, it's like Bruce Pearl said, the witnesses coming to see this team on the road. We'll see. I think you will have quite a few of them in the house tonight at McLane Stadium.
Hey, we were talking just before the top of the hour about one of the standards in football, and always has been, and it's hard to believe that it's not going to continue, is run the ball, stop the run. Maybe easier said than done against this Baylor. You know, Baylor's got some experience, especially the interior of their offensive line, and they've got a big physical back. I know their even bigger back is out for the year, but Bryson Washington, a 1,000-yard rusher from a year ago, is close to 220 pounds. That's going to be critical to see how this inexperienced Auburn linebacker core and the defensive front handle the Baylor running game.
And both of these teams feel good about their ability to throw, right, which would seemingly make it even tougher to focus on the run game, because you've got dangerous options at the quarterback position. You've got some skill position weapons outside. Yeah, I think that if either of these teams can establish a run game, it's just going to put the other team's defense on their heels and maybe set up some of those big passing plays that the winning team is going to probably need in tonight's game.
I would think, though, that Auburn might feel a little bit better about having an extra guy in to try to stop the run because of how they feel about their secondary than Baylor might, because Baylor still some questions there in their secondary. And look, Baylor's got some really talented receivers, but as I look at the starting, you know, as I look at their sizes, only one, Josh Cameron, is over 6 feet and 170 pounds among their outside guys.
And that's something, no matter what your reputation is as a defensive coach, no matter what kind of scheme you're going to, and I'll defer to Coach Dunn on this, but if your corners aren't winning their one-on-one matchups consistently and you got to start moving things around and compensating for that as a defense, you could find yourself in big trouble against the wrong team.
Yeah, no doubt, Dan. You're exactly right. So many little games within the game, so many little matchups. Bill and I have been talking earlier about, you know, running the ball, stopping the run, protecting the pass, filling the running lanes from the secondary. Your safety's got to be involved. Your corners cannot get beat, can't get left on an island. It'll be interesting to see, all the little different matchups and battles going on.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like for Auburn, you know, consistently this year, I would think that the number one corner on the other team, the team facing Auburn, they've got to feel like they can win. They can win their share of matchups against Cam Coleman. And if you can't, then you're going to be struggling to sort of keep things balanced and keep things on schedule with the rest of your defense.
Yeah, it's so important. Just what you said, if they can cover him and blanket him and keep him, in check, the good thing is, though, we have some other good weapons, so it's going to open those guys up, I hope.
And right now, at least, the early reports are is that Eric Singleton looks like he's moving very well early on, from some folks that have seen him saying that that he seems to be feeling fine. I think it was Chris Lowe had a little note that he may not be 100%, but he's going to go and feels like he can still make some plays, and that is huge, because that's going to take a lot
of pressure.
That'll put more pressure on the Baylor corners, because they can't afford to double those guys, and then Auburn's right. Auburn's got other guys in addition.
Yeah. And again, like Bill said, run the football, and that opens up the pass game.
Hey guys, let me call you back, because I gotta show the security people my phone to get into the parking place here at Media Parking.
Yeah, so
let me get back with you guys, okay?
All right, that'll be fine. All right, we'll check back in with Dan here in just a little bit. Tell you what we can do. We can go ahead and start looking at the starting lineups. And again, the strength of Baylor appears to be their offense. And you would think the strength of Auburn, especially here early on, is going to be on their defense. So I will give you the Baylor starting offense. Just hit the guy at the top of the list because there are so many ors there.
Yeah, yeah.
Auburn's got 34 different players listed as possible starters.
I've never seen a depth chart like
well,
this.
I think they're going to play. I think they're going
to play
them all.
And they need to.
But I don't think it's coincidental who is at the top of every one of those positions. All right, your starting lineup for the Baylor Bears tonight at wide receiver, Cole Wilson, 5'9", 171, and a senior. Other receiver is Ashton Hawkins, 5'10", 168, and a sixth-year senior. You'll hear a lot of seniors, especially on the Baylor offense. And then their third receiver, as I mentioned, is the only guy they have over 5'10", 170 among their starting receivers. Josh Cameron is 6'1", 224, wearing number 34, which is an unusual number for a receiver.
Yeah.
So those are their receivers. The offensive line, a big one for Baylor, and again, a lot of experience. At left tackle is Sidney Fugar, 6'5", 343, and a redshirt senior. Left guard is Ryan Lingyell, 6'6", 312, and a redshirt junior. The center is Colton Price, 6'2", 318, another redshirt junior. So even the juniors, it's their fourth year. The youngsters are on the right side. At right guard, Omar Egbedion, 6'3", 310. And Caden Siraki, 6'9", 317, and a redshirt sophomore is their right tackle. The tight end is Michael Trigg, a big one. He is really talented, 6'4", 240, and a senior. And the backfield for the Bears, the quarterback, former Mississippi State player, Sawyer Robertson, who really came on down the stretch for them last year, 6'4", 220, and a redshirt senior. The 1,000-yard rusher from a year ago, Bryson Washington, 6'2", 216, and a redshirt sophomore. And then if they play a fullback, it'll either be Hawkins Polly or Cody Mladenka, both those guys, former tight ends. So that is the offense, starting offense for the Baylor Bears.
On defense, as the old saying goes, the big uglies up front. At defensive tackle, Zacchaeus Walker, 6'4", 296, a senior.
Yeah, and he's been in the program. This is his fifth or sixth year in the program.
And, you know, I look for him to have a good year. Big, strong kid. At nose tackle, Bobby Jameson Travis. Another big young man, 6'4", 322.
And can move.
A senior, got great feet and hips. Mm-hmm. Like Bill said, at defensive end, the guy we all know about and everybody's going to be keying on is Keldrick Falk, 6'6", 285. And that's what you want, Bill. My goodness. And number 15.
He can run.
I look for them maybe to move him around a little bit.
I think he'll play inside a good bit.
Yeah, and that's smart. And they'll have, like we talked last week, they'll have a special package for third and long. They're rabbits. They're speed guys, whatever they want to call them. Then you have your buck at number 24 is Kieron Crawford, 6'4", 255, another big kid. I love the sizes of these guys.
And he's a guy that last year had a lot of quarterback hurries, but didn't have the sacks. But he has had a great fall, and a lot of pro scouts say they really like what they've seen from Kieron Crawford this
year. Yeah, and, you know, we've talked all year. I've been, you know, a D-line coach all my life. A hurry to me is as good as a sack. Now, on statistics, and if you're the D lineman, you want a sack. Everybody wants sacks. But if you can pressure that quarterback, make him uncomfortable, and hurry his throw up, that's a plus. And at Sam, number 6, DeMarcus Reddick, 6'2", 228, a sophomore. At Mike, number 0, Robert Woodford, a junior, 6'2", 241. at will, number 17, Xavier Atkins, 6 foot 210. We've talked about our linebacker core.
A lot of experience there. That's where it's going to be key against the Baylor running game.
And I think everybody's going to be watching them and how they play. At star, number 19, Sylvester Smith, 6 foot 195 sophomore. At free safety, number one, Champ Anthony, 5'11", 188 junior. At the other safety is number eight, Khalib Harris, 6'1", 201, a sophomore. At one of your corners is Kalen Lee, number four, 5'11", 180, a junior. And the other corner is number 23, Jay Crawford, 5'11", 181, sophomore. I like our size. I like our length.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're really going to be good on defense. And we just got to go out, and communication is going to be the key. Getting lined up. Don't overreact. Don't lose your cool. And just go play and stuff the run, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll look at the Auburn offense and the Baylor defense in just a little while. But I think we've got Dan back with us. You make it through, they get you in.
Yeah, guys, they were able to accommodate me pretty easily. The media lot's crowded. I mean, you can tell this is going to be a big one for Baylor. The streets, as you get closer to McLean Stadium, it's buzzing around here as folks, you know, start to trickle in about 90 minutes or so before, a little more than 90 minutes before kickoff. But no, it's looking forward to making my walk across the street and getting to my seat in the press box.
And another update, Dan, that we saw a little while ago, at least this morning, apparently Alex McPherson feeling very good and upbeat about tonight. I mean, of course, you don't know. I mean, it's not just day by day. It's, hour by hour, just how he's feeling. But if Alex McPherson is feeling good and healthy, that is definitely a plus for Auburn and special teams.
Absolutely. I wonder how much that'll impact Hugh Freeze's decision making. You know, if he's still gonna wonder about what to do in long field goal, borderline field goal situations, if he wants Alex to test his range, if he wants to go with Towns, if he wants to utilize some of the other options, including go for it in those situations, even punting to put it, you know, depending on how your defense is playing, maybe you punt and pin them deep. I mean, so yeah, I think how Hugh Freeze decides to. And it's great that Alex is available and Alex is an option. I still, I don't know if that necessarily settles everything with how Hugh Freeze handles his kicking game tonight. And that's vitally important. Coach, you can tell us better than just about anybody.
Yeah.
There are some big games on the road that can go differently if you don't feel like you've got a reliable, high-quality field goal kicking.
Yeah, there's so much hidden yardage, Dan, as you know. You got to make your field goals. We want to score in the red zone. That's a big thing we've talked about all off season. We got to be better in the red zone. We got to get touchdowns. But when you don't get a touchdown, you have to make your field goals. You have to have a punter to punt you and punt it out and change the field position.
Yeah, I mean, because, year before last, it was automatic. You're going to get points. Auburn got inside the 40-yard line. You knew they were going to get points because Alex McPherson was nearly perfect for the year, like I was saying a while ago.
Right.
Last year, you miss a couple. Then you start thinking, well, should we go for it? Should we kick? What should we do?
Exactly.
Because you don't
– confidence.
Yeah. When you don't have confidence in your field goal kicker, that changes, your philosophy and your thinking.
And it changes and kills the morale. You go down there. You get nothing.
It wasn't just last season either. I mean, you think about, like, Auburn had a steady run of excellent kickers.
Oh, yes.
The Carlson brothers and Alex in his first. I mean, Auburn for most of the last decade has been near the top of the SEC in place kicking. And so last year was a real shock to the system, and I'm sure Alex would love to recapture a lot of what worked in his first year and put these health problems behind him as best he can and get out there and resume what was a phenomenal start to his college football career.
You know, something we haven't talked about much is the punting. We haven't really talked much about Hudson Cock, the transfer who has come in as punter. because Auburn will be facing one of the best punters in the country in Palmer Williams, a guy who averaged nearly 50 yards a punt last year. And, you know, Hudson is a guy with a very strong leg, and he's very proud of his ability to have the ball do what he wants, you know, whether he wants it to spin and roll or whether he wants it to stop and back up. But that's going to be important to see how that goes. Hey, look, you hope that you don't even need him tonight. Yeah. You hope that you don't, that you're wondering about your punter, you know, when Ball State comes in next week, but that's probably not likely.
Yeah, and you hope that it's not because you're turning it over a lot, not even getting to fourth down, right? You're hoping that there's another reason why you don't need your punter.
You hope you've got Hudson, a place kicker at the end of most drives.
Hudson's one of the only guys on this team that like has been to McLean Stadium before, I believe, right? During his time at Oklahoma State. I mean, this place isn't all that foreign to him. Bill, I was reading you some of Williams' accomplishments from last year, and you thought they were typos. Yeah, right, you're like, no, that can't be.
That's 79 yards. Yeah,
he had a game where he had several over 60 yards. I know Utah, the altitude can mess with you a little bit, or you can get a bounce, but 79 yards is 79 yards, and that's another. You know, it's going to make things even harder for the Auburn offense. Is that there could be opportunities tonight where you think you're going to get the ball with decent field position, and that Baylor punter can give them a boost and maybe back you up even more.
I'm also interested to see, is Eric Singleton healthy enough to be your punt returner tonight? Because I think the Auburn coaches and staff really excited about his ability. Look, Malcolm Simmons showed he's got breakaway ability last year, but it looked like Eric Singleton was ahead of him as far as being the punt returner.
Yeah, I would expect Malcolm, if they decide Eric's not 100% enough for, or he's not fully, you know, able to do that job tonight. I think that will be an interesting decision. We've seen Malcolm and Bryce Kane fielding punts the last couple of weeks. Maybe Auburn goes with one of those guys instead of Eric. We'll see. It was still Eric. He was still working with the special teams group when we were out there earlier this week. So I would think that maybe Eric Singleton, if he's active, mm-hmm. if he's available, one of his jobs could be punt returner. But with a lower body injury, maybe, you know, if he's compromised at all, maybe they would decide that Malcolm or Bryce would be the move instead. Let's say that's another decision just to make before this game starts.
Yeah, that'll be something to keep a close eye on. Dan, you're breaking up, so we'll let you go and head on into the stadium, man. Final thoughts and give us your pick.
You know, this thing has seemed close to me all along, right? It's felt like we're going to have a close one-possession game in the fourth quarter. Earlier this week, I sort of landed on, I think Auburn makes a key stop late to protect a seven-point win. So I'm going to go 27-20 Auburn with a big stop late.
All right, Dan, thanks a lot, man. Hopefully it's an enjoyable watch from the box for you this evening. And, of course, you'll be here. We'll be back on Monday on Labor Day with Brian Matthews joining us here in the studio to break down the Auburn-Baylor game and all the other great games over the weekend.
Yeah, thanks for filling in, Coach. Can't wait to see you guys again. And I will. I'm looking forward to this one tonight, guys.
All right, buddy. All right,
safe travels, man.
See you guys.
We need to get to our first break of hour number two. We'll continue looking at the starting lineups and much more. Again, you can join in 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline as we continue with the Friday Drive.
The Drive on the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Our thanks to Dan Peck joining us as he's headed into the stadium there for Auburn and Baylor, which will kick off in just a little over 90 minutes in Waco. We'll take a look now at the Baylor defense and the Auburn offense. Coach, this is where the biggest questions are right now. I mean, there's more proven You know, Auburn was a top 20 defense last year. Mm-hmm. Baylor averaged 41 points a game coming down the stretch. So those are their strengths. Auburn feels like they should have a good offense, mm-hmm. but we have to see it tonight. And here's a defense that Dave Aranda will put out there for Baylor to get things started tonight. Up front, defensively, they'll go with on one side, Jackie Marshall, 6'3", 306-pound redshirt senior. The nose is D.K. Kalu, 6'4", 309, and a redshirt sophomore. And the other end is either Cooper Lance, 6'4", 286, and a redshirt senior, or Devontae Tizzino, 6'5", 294, and a redshirt junior. The linebackers, Matthew Fobbs White, 6'3", 235, Keaton Thomas, 6'2", 229. They're both juniors. And then the rover is Kylan Reed, 6'1", 218, and a sophomore. Then in the secondary, the nickel is DJ Coleman, 6'1", 210. At free safety, Jacob Redding, 6'1", 196, a redshirt sophomore. And then the strong safety is Devin Bobby, 5'11", 198, and a senior. And the corners, Tevin Williams III, 6'1", 199, and a senior. And LeVar Thornton, 6'3", 182, and a sophomore. Good size in their secondary, Don.
Yeah.
As their corners are 6'1", 200, and 6'3", 185. I mean, that's big corners.
Yeah, those are.
They're going to need them against Auburn's got
yep.
with Cam Coleman, yep. Horatio Fields, Perry Thompson.
We got some height, yeah. On offense, Bill, at X for Auburn, number eight, the guy we all know about is Cam Coleman, 6'3", which is excellent. Mm-hmm. 201, a sophomore. I look for him to have a great year. He's another year in the program.
Man, he understands really yep. routes
yep.
and everything now. I mean, the ability is no question.
He can take us to a different level. The Z is Horatio Fields, another good-sized kid, 6'2", 201, a senior.
Transfer from Wake Forest.
Yes. Our H-back is number one, Eric Singleton, 5'10", 180, a junior. Left tackle, 6'5", Xavier Chaplin, 6'7", 348.
Yeah, he is a mountain.
Yes. At left guard, number 52, Dylan Wade, another senior, 6'4", 315. At center, we all know about how good this kid is and what an important leader and a captain, number 75, Connor Liu, 6'3", 303, a junior. Who'll be making all the checks and calls and protections. At right guard, number 77, Jeremiah Wright, another big man, 6'5", 348, a senior. Right tackle, number 76, Mason Murphy, 6'5", 319.
Do you realize, I didn't realize this, I heard this yesterday, Auburn has the most returning, so the most starts from its offensive line of any team, not just in the SEC, in the nation.
Wow.
Auburn has 150 starts out of its offensive line, out of those starting five.
Wow, that is amazing. And that is so, so important. At tight end, number 87, Brandon Frazier.
He's not a little kid either.
Oh, my goodness. 6'7", 267. He is a senior. A quarterback, we've talked about this all year, so important, number 11, transfer Jackson Arnold, 6'1", 219, a junior. A lot of pressure on him, but he has played, and he's been in the mm-hmm. battles before. And, you know, we all know it's key how he plays.
And interesting, I was mentioning Chris Lowe a little while ago. Chris Lowe said he had talked with Jackson Arnold this morning, I believe, mm-hmm. got a chance to talk to him, and said he is so fired up to prove to people that he is the player that everybody
thought he was
coming out of high school in Texas, growing up about an hour away from Waco. He's got a lot of people there, said playing with a chip on his shoulder. He's ready to get out and show to those people who have sort of written him off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, like we said, that's the key. And at running back, which I think we're going to be very good, number zero, Damari Alston, 5'9", 214, a senior.
You're going to see a group, a committee, I think, of running backs.
Yeah, and, you know, you got Cobb behind him, Robinson,
And then Omar Mapson.
And Mapson, who's had a great fall camp. And then you mentioned the special teams. And, a lot of size, a lot of experience in the O-line. Got to be able to run the ball. And then we can open up for those great receivers.
Yeah, the RPO, I mean, that's something Jackson Arnold, Hugh Freeze has given him a lot of credit for making the right decisions in the RPO. I mean, that one time where he threw his visor, yeah. But, I mean, he's really praised Jackson for his decision-making. And he has the arm to make all the throws.
Right.
And then he also has the athletic ability to create and make plays. The one thing I know Hugh Freeze has been a little critical of is he said he wished he'd just hang on to the ball just a split second longer. You know, early on people were thinking he's holding the ball too long.
Yeah.
What we're hearing from Hugh Freeze now is he'd like him stand in the pocket just a split second longer and see if somebody is coming open.
Yeah.
But then he said, but when he's got the ability to pull it and make plays, it's hard to criticize him because he can do that.
Yeah, he's being able to run the ball, that really stresses the defense and the defensive coaches. Mm-hmm. If you just had a guy back there that's all he's going to do is sit back there and throw it or take a sack, you can design more stuff from your defense. But, yeah, that's another threat when he can run the ball, no doubt.
We will get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got about 20 minutes left as we continue here with the Friday Drive.
And Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Yes, final 20 minutes here on this Friday game day.
Getting close.
Less than an hour and a half away from kickoff between Auburn and Baylor. Georgia Tech, Colorado going on at the same time.
Yeah.
So a couple of pretty interesting ball games there. Obviously a full lineup involving SEC teams this weekend. We had the opener last night with Missouri routing Central Arkansas. We can take a look at the other games around the SEC. We'll do that, but I thought first we'll let you hear from Jackson Arnold, who we were just talking about a couple of minutes ago. Everybody's going to be focused on how he plays. He's a guy that was one of the top 10 prospects coming out of high school just a couple of years ago. Struggled some at Oklahoma, but it's well documented the problems Oklahoma had last year. Physically, injuries to receivers on the offensive line, and Jackson Arnold getting a fresh start. The media had a chance to catch him coming off the practice field just a couple of days ago.
Jackson, talk about what you've seen from this Baylor defense. Coach Freeze talked a lot about the simulated pressures. How are you guys attacking that in the film room right now?
Yeah, they're a big simulated zone pressure team. Being able to study that in the field and study what parts of the field that we can attack and take advantage of has been big for us in our film study. And we come out here in the practice field going out and executing our calls and making sure we're running the right routes at the right depths and getting the windows that we need to get in.
How excited are you guys to have a big opponent right off the bat to kind of have that circled throughout preseason camp and to have that big game right away?
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's a lot different than playing, a lesser opponent, you would say, week one. There's a lot more at stake. But at the same time, you have all offseason to prepare, all summer to prepare. And for me, I like these challenges week one. It sets the tone for our team and for our season. So I'm super grateful for this opportunity.
What's your confidence level now compared to, say, 8-9 months ago?
Yeah, at a high level. And that's just from us being able to execute on the field, talking to coaches off the field, film study, whatever it is. I'm just really confident in this team and our abilities.
How much does it change things for you guys when you start to narrow things down and get in a game plan and start to do that? How much does that bring comfort even more?
Yeah, it's nice. Being able to actually see the looks that you're seeing on film and see them in practice, it's nice. It's better than going against our defense and seeing all these different types of looks that Coach Durek throws at us. But it's good to game plan. It's good to get our plays in that we need to run against Baylor. And it makes it a lot more comfortable and a lot easier for us.
Where do you feel like the offense made the most progress during camp from the start first week to now?
I think us just gelling with each other, building on what we had in in spring ball and in the summer and really create that chemistry with each other, whether that's, you know, receivers, linemen, running backs, tight ends, whoever it was, really gelling with each other and, you know, striking as a unit, playing as a unit.
What about your personal progress? How do you think you've changed?
Yeah, I think for me, I think timing was a big emphasis for me this fall, but that's different routes that we run, different windows they need to fit the ball, and I feel like I did a good job, you know, with our timing routes and getting the ball out at a good time.
Jackson Arnold, Auburn starting quarterback. And,
yep.
And, yeah, it'll be interesting how much Auburn throws, how much they need to throw, or how much of it is based if, look, if Baylor's going to come out and put an extra guy or two in the box, then
right.
then you're going to take it because you've got guys like Cam Coleman and Horatio Fields and either Eric Singleton or Malcolm Simmons or Bryce Kane has had a good ball, Perry Thompson. I mean, Auburn's got some guys that can make plays out there, and their backs catch it well, too, out of the backfield.
Yes. A lot of pressure on their defense.
Mm-hmm. All right. I was mentioning other games around the SEC. We'll go ahead and look at them because it's there's some fun matchups.
Wow.
Starting early tomorrow, I mean, obviously the whole nation's going to be watching as Texas and Ohio State battle in Columbus. I think that's going to be a heck of a ball game. I think there's a lot of pressure on Arch Manning, though. I mean, I know Julian Sayin's getting his first collegiate start, but he's starting at home.
Yeah, and I can't imagine the pressure that's going to be on Manning and the whole Texas program. You know, they picked their number one in the country going into the ex-national champ or the former national champ.
Current, you're defending national champ,
until somebody takes it.
Yep.
I don't know about that one, Bill. I don't feel great about Texas.
It should be a great game.
Yeah.
At the same time, you've got Tennessee and Syracuse playing in at
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Very interesting game. I don't know what to think about. I don't know. You know, Tennessee's got a new quarterback.
I mean, both teams are coming off 10-win seasons.
Yeah.
Tennessee's got Joey Aguilar, the former UCLA, sort of like they made a swap.
Yeah.
Nico's at UCLA,
Aguilar,
former App State quarterback, is now in Knoxville.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting game, too. Another good game.
And Tennessee about a two-touchdown favorite. I think that may be a little much.
I do, too.
All right, the next ball game, and we talked about this one a little yesterday, Mississippi State is going to Hattiesburg. And, boy, these are a couple of programs that really are desperate for wins. State was 2-10 last year.
Mm.
Southern was 1-11.
Mm. Yeah.
It's really been a rough sledding for Southern Miss over the last few years.
Yeah, they haven't, you know, done well and, you know, had the tragedy with losing their coach. And they really haven't kind of got their mojo back, as they say. And Southern, you know, traditionally has been a tough team. You didn't want to play them back in the old days.
And you sure didn't want to go to Hattiesburg.
No, not to Hattiesburg. No, that's an interesting game, too.
Yeah, so that's an 11 o'clock game also tomorrow. So, man, you got three really interesting games here at 11 o'clock. At 11:45 on the SEC Network, this one may be more interesting than people would realize, too, as the Kentucky Wildcats, 4-8 a year ago, and a lot of Kentucky fans really looking toward New Orleans. John Sumrall, their former offensive lineman,
who has done a great job
at Troy and then last year at Tulane.
Yes. A lot of pressure on Stoops. Toledo, good team last year.
The Rockets are a solid team. They were an 8-win team last year, and they've got a lot of players back.
That's right.
Yeah, so that one is an 11:45 kick on the SEC Network. Then as you head into the afternoon, your what used to be considered prime time. I mean, it's not prime time, but your mid-afternoon games. ABC's got the big one this time. It's SEC versus ACC an awful lot. We mentioned, we'll get to LSU and Clemson in a little while, but Alabama at Florida State, a Florida State team that started last year in the top 10 and finished the year with 10 losses.
Yeah. Wow. Just fell off the table. From got off to a bad start over there in Ireland. And never recovered.
No, you're right.
And a lot of question marks, Florida State.
And
Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama's got some injuries.
I heard some people today talking that they think that Florida State could pull the upset. You know,
I'd be surprised if they pull the upset.
It is at their place.
I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah. if they played it a little better. Yeah, I mean, it is in Tallahassee.
Yeah, so.
And this is huge. I mean, to see if they can get back into the national picture after, you know, after feeling like they were shafted because their quarterback got hurt and should have made the 14 playoff and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then not even, I mean, then go just
terrible
to,
season.
To a 10-loss season a year ago. So that's 2:30 on ABC. Tell you what, we've got a few other games to get to. So let's go ahead and get to our final break. Then we'll wrap up the SEC schedule and then give you our thoughts on the Auburn-Baylor game as we wind things down here on the Friday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pro.
1502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment here on this Friday. Game day, Auburn and Baylor. A little over an hour away there in Waco, where we understand the heat index on the field as of just a few minutes ago was 138 degrees.
That's good.
138.
Wow.
Man, my feet are hot thinking about that.
Mine too, buddy.
Wow. All right, we were looking at games involving SEC teams tomorrow. Also at 2:30 tomorrow on ESPN. Why? Well, Marshall won 10 games a year ago, but I don't think they can stick with the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow afternoon.
No.
That's a 2:30 ESPN. At 3:15 on the SEC Network, the Arkansas Razorbacks, and again, Sam Pittman, another coach that the seat is a little warm for. They will be hosting Alabama A&M, so Arkansas should get off to a big start.
Mm-hmm.
Then the final afternoon game, 5 o'clock, Oklahoma should be able to pile up the numbers. New quarterback John Mateer, running back Jaden Ott, as they host an Illinois State team that was a 10-win team a year ago. Let me tell you what, if Illinois State plays Oklahoma close, those fans are not going to be happy there in Norman.
No.
Because a lot of high expectations.
Right.
I mean, I'm seeing some people saying that Oklahoma is not just a dark horse, that they should be in contention for a playoff spot. So we will see. But then that'll head us into the evening games. And starting at 6 o'clock, Texas A&M, Mike Elko in his second year after, you know, before the Auburn loss looked like they were very much in the playoff picture.
Right.
They finished 8-5, it seems like A&M always does,
mm-hmm.
Against a UTSA team that's been pretty competitive over the last couple of years.
They'll play tough early.
So that is that's at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Also at 6 o'clock on SEC and ESPN Plus, Diego Pavia gets his Vanderbilt Commodores started on their run toward an SEC title and contending for the national championship. Well, they ought to have their way with Charleston Southern, a Charleston Southern team that was 1-11 a year ago.
Right.
Also at 6 o'clock on SEC and ESPN Plus, Florida is hosting, I didn't know Long Island had a football team.
I have never heard that in my life.
So, I mean,
I had to look it up, Bill.
DJ Lagway should put up phenomenal numbers till Billy Napier feels like pulling him tomorrow in that matchup down in Gainesville. The big ball game tomorrow night, mm-hmm. another SEC-ACC matchup, LSU at Clemson.
Wow.
Both these teams feeling like they very much have playoff-caliber teams. And this could be sort of like that Texas-Ohio State game. The loser isn't out of the playoff picture by any means, but the winner will make a strong statement early.
Yeah, that's another one of those games that you hear about all summer, all off season, and a lot of pressure on LSU. They're 0-5 in their last
opening. How about that?
I couldn't believe that.
They have lost 5 straight openers. Well, when you're playing teams like Clemson
on
the road.
Yeah, I give them credit that.
I can see that, but they haven't all been like that.
No.
And then the final game involving an SEC team tomorrow night, Ole Miss will host Georgia State at 6:45 on the ESPN network. And then Sunday, the final SEC game of the weekend, South Carolina is taking on Virginia Tech in Atlanta. A lot expected South Carolina team, a top 15 team.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of love. Yeah, sure are. Because of their quarterback.
Oh, yeah, Lenore Selvers.
He's pretty special.
No question.
Yeah.
All right, so those are your games involving SEC teams. All right, Auburn and Baylor. We've talked about some of the matchups, some of the keys there. The Auburn, I think the Auburn edges is where Auburn has an advantage.
No doubt.
The Auburn tackles on both offense, the Auburn tackles on offense, ends on defense, they've got to win their battles.
Right.
If they can protect the quarterback and, you know, lead the way in the running game offensively and then get after Sawyer Robertson, you know, that's something Auburn's been looking for help there on the pass rush. If they can do that, I think that goes a long way to Auburn winning.
Yeah, I agree with you. The keys for me, like you said, Bill, being able to run the ball on offense, being able to stop the run on defense, put pressure on their quarterback, limit the mistakes and turnovers. I think we have better athletes and better players, and I think our defense will carry us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would argue that Auburn should be the more talented team. Baylor is a team that is very confident coming in off the way they finished a year ago. So we will see. Again, going to be a hot one if that report was anywhere near correct. If the that heat index on the field at well over 100 degrees, that's where Auburn's depth, I think, could be a big factor. Don't turn it over. You know, don't make those just dumb
silly mistakes. Yeah, and I'm anxious to see. I want to watch that rotation. I hope they rotate them early, like that we've been talking all fall. You know, or preseason.
Well, they had better. They will be really gassed.
Yeah.
By the end of the ball game. Don, I really appreciate you coming in.
I enjoyed it.
And, we will talk to you, if not before, next Friday get ready for the home opener.
Yeah, I tell you, I feel like I'm getting ready to coach this game. I got goosebumps and butterflies.
Yep, everybody get ready. It's coming up. Don't forget to drive back with you on Monday on Labor Day. Dan will be back. Brian Matthews will be in. We'll break down the Auburn game, plus all the others around the country. But we are out of time. Don't forget the radio coverage over on Wings 94.3. You can go ahead and tune over there right now. That's going to do it for The Drive. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.